Life got real. You got to take some training wheels off. You got to make real life decisions and find out who you want to be in this season of your life.
I have many skills. I have 2 degrees. I have a CDL license. If worst came to worst, I'll get in the truck and I'll drive a truck. I know one thing. We call that a gold card. It'll work.
The idea that many times people are waiting for you, or someone you don't know is waiting for you to do the thing, so they have the courage to pursue it, whatever they want to pursue.
Welcome to Talks at the Water Cooler, the business podcast designed for professionals at every stage of their journey. Whether you're climbing the corporate ladder, breaking into a new industry, or just looking for real, unfiltered career insights, we've got you covered. Our goal is simple: to provide practical tips, actionable strategies, and authentic stories that help you navigate the workplace with confidence. We're here to create a safe space where real professionals share real experiences. No fluff, just game. So grab a cup and meet us at the water cooler.
We both have spoke about kind of some of the blind spots we realize as we get older.
Mm-hmm.
Realizing, you know, taking that veil off of what we're kind of, the idea we were sold about life in many ways. Like, hey, life's meant to be this way. And grew up thinking that, hey, it was meant to be this way.
Yeah.
But it's not. Things are different. And every day, you know, you learn a new piece, whether it's a pro or a con in that way, right? We learn every day.
Absolutely.
Like secrets about life and like, you know, oh, I'm 33, I'll be 34 in a few months. And 23, and at 13, I didn't think that 33 would be this.
I told my son, so, you know, I told you this past weekend I was at a gender reveal. So it's my wife's sister's daughter. She's going to be like that first grandkid of my wife's siblings. So she's, I think she's 20 and the guy is 17. And but he graduated high school early. He's out of school, he runs like a car wash business. They got their own. They even live together. When they put them in the home together, I knew. But anyway, to keep it on what I'm saying, I had a conversation with my son. And sometimes I think these kids fib on you because she didn't like greet me as normal at the gender. But anyway, I told my son, I said, son, I pray for them and I wish them the best. But she's 20. And he's 17 and they're having a kid. And at 17, what mattered to me at 17 didn't matter at 21, which it didn't matter at 25, which I'm a whole different person by 30.
Yeah.
So I'm just telling him that it's going to take a lot of prayer. It's going to take a lot of them sticking together because they are having a baby at a really young age and they are going to have to grow up and become adults while raising the kid. And I had to do that maybe just and probably at the same age. So I was just giving game that it'll be tough, but it all goes to what you just said, which is essentially the 13-year-old you doesn't resonate with the 18-year-old you, the 21, 25, 30, and so on. How you felt at 30, you don't feel at 34. I know it. Go ahead.
And I know at 29, one of my homies, Jack, told me this. Maybe a week before my birthday, my 30th birthday, he said, yo, when you turn 30, something's going to change. And I'm saying, yeah, all right, bro, you okay, whatever, cool. I hear you, right? Not in a way to being dismissive, but like, again,
you wasn't
like,
there.
It's only one age. I'm like, no, you shouldn't be that big of a dude. Bro, I'd say maybe a week into turning 30. It was a subtle thing. I went on to the gym and it hit me. It's like, yo, I feel different. And over time, it became a thing where I noticed it more and more. And at 30, 33, right? It's funny because as you get older, like you start forgetting your age. Like I only think of milestone ages now.
Yeah.
And at 33, so many things I don't care about, and so many things I do care about that I thought didn't know I would care about.
Yes.
At 33, plus being a, you know, a grown ass man. I know we don't, you know, curse in the pot too much, but ass ain't no cuss word.
It's okay. You're okay, man. Keep going. I'm with you.
And to that point, you know, I spoke about before, right? Why we moved and things of that sort. Like even my original idea of moving from Philly to Atlanta in 2020 was to pursue creative pursuits, right? Acting and writing, things of that sort.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, moved down here January 2nd, 2020. Decided, you know, I had my job, started that next Monday. Down to a minor car accident. I'm on my way to work. That was a very interesting way to start a new job, new journey in that way. And there to say, that was just an interesting start to that journey. And my first 2 weeks in Atlanta, it was dark, right? I would leave to drive to work. It was dark.
Sheesh.
I would drive. I would be coming back from work. It's dark. And it was rainy. So it was like kind of that rainy season. They don't have a lot of snow down here. Once in a while they will, but more so like rain.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like very depressing, but also very like, it was a very transformative space to be in, because I went and I sat on my couch and I was like, hey, mm-hmm. this stuff is hard. And then I found myself like starting to break down. And I'm like, yo, I started laughing because, oh, well, in that way of like, you have to go through the thing to get on the other side, right? You can't like avoid.
Yes.
I cannot avoid my discomfort in that season, right? Because it didn't serve me to put it aside. I had to kind of walk through it and go through it because, you know, you have signs, right? Can't think of it. We have a bike.
No manuals.
Any manuals? You know, teach them how to ride a bike. You got to take those training wheels off, right?
Yeah.
So one of the things where like life got real, you got to take them training wheels off. You got to make real life decisions and find out who you want to be in this season of your life, right? So me moving down here, you know, then a pandemic happens, working at a job, ran for four.
Yeah. I remember you telling me that.
All praise really to the crucial, Most High for a job.
That is crucial,
right?
Man. That is crucial. Keep going.
All praise to the Most High for that job, because it was a vehicle that allowed me to get down here.
That's what I wanted to ask. So before stopping, I wanted to ask, when you moved from Philly to Atlanta, did you have a job already lined up, or you took that big risk of, we'll cross that bridge when we get there?
Hey, brother, I like to pursue my dreams.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 6'6". I don't want to sleep in my car if I don't got to. So I had a job. I had a job when I headed down. That was a whole process, right? Because again, you got to have a plan when you're moving, whether you're moving without a job or not. I believe that it's important to have a plan of some sort. I know for me, prior to me moving, it was months of reaching out to people, right? From, hey, you guys got any jobs open, to like, hey, can we do a phone call, a chat, a facial session? I really want to speak about how you got where you got to in your career, right? Understanding people's career journey. Understanding folks' career journey and realizing that people like to talk about themselves, right? So that's a way to use, again, I was allowed to get information from several different people and kind of start creating that roadmap for myself. Ultimately, to answer your question, I was able to reach out to someone through my university's like alumni page on LinkedIn. Kevin Robbins. He's doing some great work on LinkedIn now. It's my guy for life, man. He reached out to me. He knows from a can of paint. He and I, we had a couple conversations. And, he's been, we checking every now and again now. And he's been somebody that allowed me to get to my next space. Right? I think in life is really important. We have these people that come in our lives and really just help us get to that next stage, right? And I think that's super important. So, again, he was able to help me secure my position. Flew down here. It's not just him. It's different people. My cousin worked at airline. They gave me a flight down here so I can do my interview in person, because I felt like, hey, doing an interview in person is better than doing it online, because it shows I care.
Yep.
Now, ultimately, I didn't get that job, but I got that job, right?
Mm-hmm.
Some things happen. You know, what's for you is for you. And I'll get into that like right in another podcast, but what's for you is for you. And I was able to secure that position, move down. When the pandemic happened, that was a whole another set of issues of moving down here and trying to understand life when there's something new we're all going through, right? So I had people around, but it's like I wasn't with my unit of people. So going through that. And then, we still here five years later.
There's many of people across the U.S. and different parts that would, that understands that moving from their home space is a life hack, but is afraid to make those changes. So, hearing your story, my story, could help people that are professionals that are looking to move. So many of others would like to hear this as well. People who are probably, I don't want to call them stuck in a rut, but they're in a point of indecisiveness and they really dream about moving away from their home state, but is afraid to make that decision. And here you are breaking it down, giving your story about how you've made that transition and that it was dark. It wasn't easy. It was hard. You had to show grit. You had to work extra. Even the steps that you took to make sure and align yourself with a job is just amazing. So, kudos to you, my brother. Real talk. And that's how I feel. But keep going.
I'm going to finish up here real quick. I want to give you the floor. So it's funny because one of my brothers in college, he was already living down here. He and I were talking. And another one of my brothers from my high school, he and I were talking as well. And I felt that moving was such a mountain that I couldn't get over, right? Like, oh, this is going to be, how do you do this? And you know, in short, was for you is for you.
Yes.
Right? Because it's never as hard as you make it, as anxiety and all the things. And, you know, that self-doubt allows us to tell ourselves these lies, right?
Yes.
And, you know, it's not always easy. We know that. That's part of the game. But again, what's for you is for you.
It's for you.
What's for you is for you. It won't miss you.
I like that.
I encourage everybody, if there's something you want to do, whether it's move, whether it's try something new, to do it. Because the first time doing this thing called life,
yep,
it's important to try. Not try, just do. Just set the intention and make it happen. Well, I want to ask you.
Go ahead. I was going to say, because you don't want to sit around singing your shoulda, coulda, wouldas.
And that's
all.
And that's that. And that's the sad song to sing, you know, at the end of your life.
Yeah. Yes.
And guess what? That's the last time you're singing it. Ain't no other shows. That's it, you know?
So
when the time comes, my fear of not dying full of potential, right? And I think, you know, I always say, this recording I got, and I'll post it one day over here on LinkedIn too, is basically, you know, being in debt at 85, 88, and you kind of regretting your life. And right? And, you know, you can't go back and do this and do that after that. And, you know, goal is to be present and then take steps to get to where you want to get to. I want to ask you, again, I know you're from New Orleans. Everybody may not know, but you're from New Orleans. Am I saying it right? Make sure I get the action.
You got it.
New Orleans.
All right.
So how did you get to where you're at? Why did you decide to relocate?
Sure. There's a multitude of reasons, but I know for time of the essence, I'll give the key points. For one, I have four sons. I'm big on the news, and I kind of was in tune with the statistics of New Orleans, where, as they said, Afro-American kids between the ages of 16 and 23, one out of three would either experience being arrested, being in jail, a debt. And at that time, I had three sons with another son on the way. And I was like, sheesh. So statistics is telling me that this is a possibility, because although I'm true and tried on numbers, but sometimes you can beat the odds. There's outliers. But that said in my mind, another thing was, after I reached 30, I got really serious about who I wanted to be, where I wanted to be in life. I have responsibilities. And New Orleans was somewhat of a roller coaster to me. I would have my times of where I'm up, I'm down. And I got tired of, you know, just that up and down with no consistency. I would have rather consistency. Last piece, another intricate piece, is that, you know, everyone knows New Orleans. As soon as you say New Orleans, you know, it's, oh, Bourbon Street. It's parties. Parties every single day. So if it's 7 days out of a week, there's four parties. And you know what happens at parties, right? You have to essentially get ready, prepare, get dressed, you know, have your fashion, etc. After a while, it becomes costly. And it takes a toll on your body of partying. So that's another big piece as well. I'll just say that in New Orleans, partying was the thing. And I got sick of partying. I'm ready for professionalism. I'm ready for business. And right next door was Houston, Texas, which I live now, which is I would say 3 to 4 times bigger, larger state with way more opportunities. So unlike you,
yeah,
I kind of learned financial literacy in New Orleans, and I saved up a little bit close to about 30K. So I got to 30K. There was a number. I did interviews. I set the date. I did the research. Just know that I came without a role. So I said that,
yeah,
we will cross that bridge when we get there. I have many skills. I have 2 degrees. I have a CDL license. If worse came to worse, I'll get in the truck and I'll drive a truck. I know one thing. We call that a gold card. It'll work.
Right.
So I took that money. We found us a home. Maybe 30% of the money went to leasing the home that we went into. And I just want to say that from there, I found my first role. It was a contract position with Loomis Armor, which is like the money carriers. And I did recruitment of truck drivers over there for maybe 2 years. But like you said, the drive, I live in what's called the Woodlands, Texas, for the people out there that may know what the Woodlands, Texas is. It's roughly about an hour and 20 minute drive. So both ways. So I would make that drive.
Wait, New Orleans?
No, I'm talking about from the Woodlands, Texas to Houston, Texas. And you should know I live far outside of Houston when it was time for you to
The 45 highway for anybody that has not been to Texas yet, Houston in particular, the 45 highway is similar to the boulevard in Philly, but
okay.
The 45 highway is, I want to say, maybe three times as large as the boulevard. And that's all I'll say.
You know, the rest is history. So I gave the intricate pieces about moving. What were some of the fears we can probably discuss just kind of off the top of your head? But what kind of fears did you have? How did you feel 2 weeks before the actual move?
Failure.
Anxious. Right? I think
anxious, fear. A thing that follows my life. I realize I only fear things. More like anxiety creates this idea of the fear of the unknown.
Yes.
Right. So, you know, kind of working through some of that stuff. Also leaving, you know, my family. Right. You know, parents were there, cousins, friends, you know, grandparents, my grandmoms. Now, also, again, you go somewhere new, right? I had, you know, luckily enough, I had a couple of friends that lived in an apartment complex, and I wanted to live in the same complex with them so I can at least be near some folks that I know. But yet, and still, you know, I had, you know, a few cousins scattered out around here and things of that sort. But for the most part, you're alone, right? So,
yes.
I had a journey started. Packed up my 55-inch TV in my back seat and some clothes and, you know, all my stuff and my Honda. And me and my cousin, I drove from Philly to Virginia to stay with our cousins down there for New Year's. And then I drove down, and he drove down the last hour and a half.
Got it.
I always joking about that because the last hour and a half, man, you want me to drive?
Perfect time to ask, you know?
Yeah, right. You know, hey, better late than never. And I appreciate, you know, my brother taking that journey with me. Now, he actually lives in Dallas now, too, so.
Oh, that's great. He moved down to Texas. What was he living when?
Philly.
He was in Philly as well. Philly. So, you look at that. You may have, he saw that it worked. That's why I just was about to ask.
Yeah, he and I spoke about that, you know, kind of serving as catalyst to other people, right? Many times we realize that people are waiting for us to do the thing. Not saying he was directly waiting for me, but the idea that many times people are waiting for you or someone you don't know is waiting for you to do the thing so they have the courage to pursue it, whatever they want to pursue. And, you know, I've seen that in other people, and I've seen that, you know, myself as well. So moving down, you know, taking that drive was 5.5 hours, I guess, to get to Virginia. And then I remember talking about fear. It was the fear of like, oh, this is real. You know what I mean?
Okay.
One of them things was when we left from Virginia to drive down to Atlanta, we left around 4:30 in the morning, you know, gassed up the car. And then that GPS said eight and a half hours. Now, since coming to the South, I've, you know, in different careers and different people I've met, people don't mind driving for the most part down here because the South is more spread out versus up north. Folks say, oh, yeah, it's only a four-hour drive. Where? Six hours? It's only a six-hour drive. Crazy to me.
That's what it is to New Orleans, too, from here. Well, go ahead.
So it was 8.5-hour drive. Like, the fear was like, oh, I can't skip this. Like, there's no way to do this but to do this. And it's like, again, you know, one of my fears was like, you know, just unawareness of driving down here. I was nervous that I was missing all of the tolls.
Okay.
I'm like, all right. Why am I missing the tolls? But there's no tolls down here. I didn't know that like that. I'm used to, you know, being up the way is, it's you know,
tolls everywhere.
Toll rolls and you know, got to pay tolls here and there. And I'm like, are they going to get me when I get to my new apartment and all that? Like, are they going to send me an email?
I told you about that drive. I just want you to know, for that drive, I used to not get on the tolls because I came from a place where there were no tolls, but they have tolls here in Houston. So I would add on 30 minutes to my drive both ways just to not get on the tolls. But now I am toll heavy.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes to the point of getting older, we do realize that sometimes we pay more for comfort. I think there's something as positive. I realize by getting older, you realize that, hey, it's okay to pay a few more dollars for this thing, you know, something of quality, or to, you know, take this away to shorten your drive or shorten your commute.
No, I want to ask about risk. Was it worth the risk?
Oh, yes. Yes. Even on the bad days.
Yes.
Worth the risk because my biggest fear, you know, surmise everything here. My biggest fear, you know, while I was living in Philly growing up was being born and existing. And dying, right? In a box in that way, right?
I got you.
People I know, family members, things of that sort. No discount to them, right? Because everybody's dream is everybody's dream. I had a fear of, like, you know, growing up in neighborhood, staying in the neighborhood and dying in the neighborhood, because I felt deep down that there was something else that I need to do. And it, yeah, the entire trying to figure whatever that thing is, but I knew
it wasn't there.
It wasn't there, and it was elsewhere. I even had to finish off, I had a conversation with my dad years ago. He had some connections in the city. He was like, hey, if I can get you a job working for the city, making $60K, would you stay? And I said, no. Now, brother, at the time, I didn't see $60K in my dreams. So I darn sure never saw it, in the paycheck at that point. So I knew, because he looked at me like, that was crazy. Like, I said, but I felt something within me. I'm like, no, I can't. If I say yes to that, I'll be regretting something deep that I can't even feel and understand just yet. So yeah.
Great call.
Understood. How about you? What were some of your fears of moving from New Orleans to East Town?
That's a good question. Everybody kind of in the household, I would always say that you have to find a partner that's with your dreams. If you woke up tomorrow and said you wanted to be a professional fisher without any experience, hopefully your partner believes in you and that you can do such. So I had everyone on board. Some of my fears was, at first, not landing on my feet. That was my biggest fear. So that was the most anxiety, of running out of the save funds and not finding employment. So I was, again, I had already moved without employment. I was proactively every day. If you're looking for a job, make looking for a job your job.
No, I'm saying, you're talking about when you upload the resume and they say the next page, we got to upload all the information again. You doing that too?
Yes.
All right.
10 of those.
All right.
10 of those applications. Yeah. No one click apply.
Mm-hmm.
10 of those. Okay. And you know, those can take about 30 to 40 minutes. So I do 10 of those and I one click apply. Essentially, my life became looking for employment. Really quick, I want you to know that when I found the role, I had applied for so many openings, whereas I had the qualifications to where I created almost, I call it a draft. I had 5 companies ready and I had the ability to pick where I wanted to go.
My old manager called that a good problem, right? The fact of having multiple solutions or multiple options allows one to not feel as though they're desperate, right? So you're making a decision based on thrive mindset versus like survival mindset, right?
Great call out. And something I wanted to kind of tell you also about, in a rebuttal to what you said, whereas the day after I graduated college, my uncle got me a role within, it was an oil and gas role where they do kind of like piping. It's a lot of physical demanding work. I had just graduated with a degree in oil and gas, like to be a production operator. And I just want you to know, I needed work. I had kids. And so I was supposed to start the next day after my graduation. And of course, I didn't make it. I'll tell you, hey, we're young. I made that huge mistake of didn't making it.
We can talk about the work fails on another one. I got some stories for you, too.
Gotcha. So the next day I went in and long story short, I want you to know I lasted maybe about 4 months and I still was applying for different openings. And my uncle, he had this really good position there. He was like a supervisor. And he always talked about this to the family. I went into his like office area and I told him, I said, Uncle, I don't want to let you down. I appreciate you getting me this role. You know, it's good. I can take care of my family, but I don't feel like this is for me.
So, Aaron, I know we're talking about this reasons why we moved, you know, me moving up from Philly. A lot of it was due to like just, you know, again, like I said, that fear of kind of being born, growing up and living and dying in a square or rectangle, for lack of better terms, right? That made me, all right, so I moved down here and, you know, that was nerve-wracking at times and still is, because that's life.
Yes.
Can be, but again, I actually saw my family, they were down here unexpectedly for my little cousin's spring break. Me and my cousin was talking, he was like, yo, how long you been down here? I said, 2020. He said, been 5 years? I said, yeah.
Sheesh.
And it don't feel like 5 years, you know, but then, it's been 5 years.
It's been 5 years.
Yeah.
Seven for me. 2018, I moved here. I told my kids and my wife that story that you said about, you know, about how you were in your city and you were like, no, this
this is not going to be it for me. This is not going to be the end game. And also, you know, sometimes we are in quote unquote neighborhoods and it can be not what we are accustomed to today.
Right. It's different. Things change, man.
Yes.
You know, nothing stays the same.
We're seeing guys back at the water cooler.
Thanks for joining us at the water cooler.